Old Testament Survey, Lesson 3, Chapter 27 through 36, but we're going to pick up Sermon 25 that we didn't get finished. So we'll take a quick look at 25. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimram and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shuah. So he had six sons by this wife, and it seems that here we have a picture of what happens after the church is taken out. Israel, God will bless Israel, and they will touch the whole world. In Acts chapter 15, Peter is speaking here, and he says, "And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men may seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things." So after the church is gone, Israel will be born in the day, and then Israel will take the gospel to the whole world. They will evangelize the world. So, praise God. And then in the last part of our chapter, we have the last look. We get a vision here. We get started on Jacob and Esau. And so let's go down to verse 20. "And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived." She was barren like Sarah was. Isaac entreated the Lord, and she is going to give birth. "And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire the Lord." There's a lot of good lessons in what we're studying about our own experience with the Lord. She can't understand why there's a struggle within her, and she finds out that she's going to bear twins. Well, after you get saved, somewhere along the line, pretty shortly, we will have an experience like she had, or like this Indian man had after he got saved. After he got saved, he was talking to a preacher, and he says, "You know, it's wonderful to be saved, but he says, I feel like now I'm two Indians. There's two Indians in me, a good one and a bad one." So we have two natures, don't we? We have Christ in us, the hope of glory, and then we have what is the Bible calls the flesh, the old nature, and it's there. And if we don't understand that, I heard a Bible teacher recently. He said he was speaking to a large group of people, and he said, "How many of you, since you have received the Lord, have entertained the fact or been a little bit leery about the fact that you might go to hell?" And he said, "Everybody's hand went up." If you know that you're eternally secure, you don't worry about that. But if you don't know that, after you get saved and you have a little bit of Romans 7 experience, you wonder, well, did I really get saved? I knew a man who was saved and filled with the Spirit, a very godly man. And just maybe the last year before he died, somewhere along there, he said to me, he said, "You know, Ben, there's times I wonder if I've ever had a born-again experience." So I know that what he's thinking about. He'd maybe lose his temper sometime. He'd do some things. So we got two natures, and we need to realize that. Now, we don't have to yield to the old nature. Romans 8 says, "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither can be. And then, of course, in Galatians 5, he mentions the flesh and the spirit. So we're going to see a lot of that in Jacob, in Esau and Jacob, the two creations, the first man, the natural man, and the spiritual man. Then sometimes the spiritual man doesn't act very spiritual. That's Jacob. He's a wonderful man. Verse 24 says, verse 23, "The Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb." This is a case of twins who were exact opposites. That's a fact. "And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau," which means red. They just named him what he looked like. "And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel." That was significant. He had over his brother's heel. That would be a picture of what Jacob would be doing all his life, more or less. "His name was called Jacob," which means supplanter, or a supplanter, someone that replaces somebody else. You know, Jesus supplanted Adam. Adam sinned, and God brought in a new creation in Christ. He supplanted him. He replaced him as God's man. "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter. He was a macho man and of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. It's amazing to me, in the King James Version, they translate this word, if you look it up in your Strong's Concordance, which I still haven't got one to go, I've got one, is the word is 8535. Remember, it's in the Hebrew and Chaldee text. Okay. But it's the same identical word that is translated in Job chapter 1, verse 8, perfect. You know what? Probably why they didn't translate it perfect here? Because they just knew that Jacob was... Jacob was a plain man, it says here. And that means, but it has other meanings besides perfect. It means complete. But Job, you know, he lived a good life. He was a godly man, a very godly man. And they chose to translate it perfect there. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So Esau was Papa's favorite. Jacob was Mama's favorite. It seemed like Rebekah might have been a little more spiritual in some respects. But Isaac was a great man of God, one of the patriarchs, one of the worthies of faith. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. Probably what, he kind of made a joke of this, and he says, "Would you give this red some of that red?" Kind of what he said. He was flippant about something serious, very serious. And so foolishness is not becoming to a person of faith, you know. Right. We're not going to be full of a lot of nonsense and foolishness. And we're not going to be trivial about important things. I don't mean that God wants us to wear a long face. But he's going to treat the birthright, the blessing of God, as a light thing. And that was serious to God. Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point of death." To die, which he was not, obviously, an exaggeration. "And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And that's the way a lot of people feel about the blessing of God. Well, you know, that's pie in the sky. That, you know, what good is that going to... What practical use is this Bible to me or a godly life? That is the attitude of a faithless person. And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. People criticize Jacob. Jacob bought it, didn't he? And the man went for it, so why should they criticize Jacob? I don't feel inclined to. I kind of admire him. He put a value on it. Getting it, Sister Elder Man, Brother Charlie. We are in Genesis chapter 25, and we're just finishing up chapter 25. All right, chapter 25, verse 34, last verse. "Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus says the Holy Spirit of God who inspired this, Esau despised his birthright." He put no value on the blessing of God. There's a verse that says, "The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." You know, what did Jabez desire above everything else over there in 2 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10? Yeah. "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." And Jacob, you know, later on we're going to find, he said he was wrestling with the angel, and he says, "I won't let you go till you bless me." I remember hearing Brother Roloff say once, in his unique way, "I'm a hog for the blessing." Well, you know, I'd rather have God's blessing than anything else. Chapter 26, "God of Abraham, thy father." That's what God said to Isaac. And we're going to, now Isaac is another picture of the life of faith. Abraham was a picture of adventurous, obedient faith. Isaac is a picture of passive, yielded faith. You know, you get these pictures of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus. In Matthew, God says, "Behold my king," or "Behold your king." In Mark, he says, "Behold my servant." In Luke, he's saying, "Behold the man, the perfect man." And in John, he's saying, "Behold your God." So you see Abraham's faith in... Was, as I said, adventurous and obedient. By faith, Abraham was called to go out, obeyed. Isaac was always just yielding to God. And God had to just overrule what he did, but he'd yield to God. He didn't resist. He didn't rebel. Chapter 26. I got off course here a little. Verses 1 to 11, Isaac's weakness. Verses 12 to 25, Isaac's strength. And verses 26 to 35, Isaac's testimony. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, "Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So this is the first time that God communicated personally with Isaac. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll find that he only talked to Isaac twice. He talked seven times to Abraham that we have recorded. And there were two communications to Isaac, and I believe there were five to Jacob. But this is the first one to Isaac. The Lord knows what he's doing. I wonder why he does it that way. I don't know. He's never personally talked to me out loud, but he has spoken. He speaks through the word to you.
Well, I know.
But isn't it good that God can talk to us? And he does talk to us. Praise God. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Jesus is the final speech of God to us. And that's all we need. So, we read then in verse 6, Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. What do you call this? A chip off the old block. Family character. Whether you like it or not, you've got the color of your eyes and most of your features from either your mom or your dad. But that's not all we got. I discovered that I had all of dad's weaknesses and all of mom's weaknesses, and very little of their virtue. But my dad made some mistakes. I'm not going to tell you what they were. I'm making some of those same mistakes today. But I'm trusting God to overcome them. And my mom made some mistakes, and I made one of her mistakes today, and I won't tell you what it was. But it was a mistake. So, family character. I'm glad we belong to another family too, aren't you? And we get family character from them. Partakers of God's divine nature. And it came to pass when he'd been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting or playing with Rebekah, his wife. He realizes she's his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she is thy wife, and how sayest thou she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. Well, that wasn't faith, was it? That was fear. Well, it seemed like that Abimelech was the name of the head of the tribe, I think they passed the name on. Probably was another one. I'm just trying to think. Well, we're going to read about in Esau's family there was dukes, but they weren't dukes like the dukes in England. They were the heads of the families, you know, and so that's probably this man's title. Verse 11, and Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. You know, look at God blessing Isaac. And that's what God does. He wants to bless us. Think of, you know, Genesis 12. Well, you go back to Genesis 2. God blessed Adam and Eve. Genesis 12, God said, I'll bless you, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. He blessed Noah. You go to Revelation. Well, you go to Matthew chapter 5, the New Testament. There's 9 blessings. That's the Beatitudes. You go to Revelation. There's 7 blessings. And so God wants to bless us. He wants to favor us. He wants to do good to us. You know, the devil would like to make us think that he's got a sword hanging over our head and he wants to beat us. He can, but he don't want to, does he? That's his strange work. Judgment is his strange work. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Wouldn't you like to be blessed so much that other people envy you? I've seen people blessed that way, and I envy them. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. So Isaac departs. They've stopped up a lot of the wells that Abraham dug, and Isaac, just true to his character, redigs them and goes on. He's that passive faith that just yields to God and trusts God and goes on. Verse 23, and he went from thence to Beersheba, and we're going to have the second communication to Isaac here, second and last, I believe. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. And I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Abraham was called a friend of God. Isn't that great? You know, Jesus said that. He says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. It's good to be his disciple, and it's good to be his brother in the family of God. But he says, you're my friend. And what they said to Jesus, when Mary and Martha sent word to him and Lazarus was sick, I think that's so beautiful. You know what they said to Jesus? They didn't say Lazarus is sick. They said, your friend Lazarus is sick. And Lazarus was his friend, too. Well, yeah, all right, verse 25. And he builded there an altar and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. And so Abimelech goes to him then, and they have a feast and make a covenant that they will respect each other, which they did after that. We go down then to verse 34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. These were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. So Esau's true to his character, isn't he? God just follows the family of faith, pretty much. He's just going to set them gently aside directly. Chapter 27. But what I'm saying is, you know, sooner or later, our character comes out. You watch us, and it's either you're going to see Christ or you're going to see the old nature, one or the other. And in Esau, you see that he's not a man of faith. Mm-hmm. Look, he's marrying these aliens, these strangers, these outsiders, out of the right family. All right, chapter 27. God that blesses, and we talked about that. He's here in this chapter, it seems to me, the overruling God. God overrules a lot of our foolish mistakes. Verses 1 to 5, Isaac and Esau, 6 to 29, Rebekah and Jacob, 30 to 46, Esau and Jacob. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, he's going to live a long time after this, though, his eyes were poor. So that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. You know, Isaac was a man that kind of yielded to his appetite, hadn't he? And so, you know, Paul put it a lot stronger than that in Philippians 3, where he said of some people, he said they just stroll around spiritually, and he says their God is their belly, which means their appetite. Well, that shouldn't be true of a Christian, should it? You know, we should keep under our body. But Isaac liked good food, and so he chooses Esau because he provides that good venison. And his favorite was really not God's favorite. And he's going to make a mistake here, but God's going to overrule it. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, and that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. There's no doubt in my mind that Rebekah had told Isaac what God had said about those 2 boys. You know she had. But Isaac's not paying any attention to it. You know, have you ever done something, you think after you did it, you know it was wrong? Oh, I remember. I knew better than that. Someone told me better. But I did it anyway. Sometimes we do that. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother. Wait, I've got ahead of the story a bit. So Rebekah spake unto Jacob, verse 6, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. Now, while Isaac was wrong in favoring Esau, where is Rebekah and Jacob wrong? Where are they wrong? They're wrong the other way. They're trying to help God, you know. Isaac's trying to help himself and help that favorite son, and they're trying to help God fulfill something. He didn't need any help. He doesn't really need our help. You know, he doesn't need our help. At least he doesn't need us deceiving people to get his blessing. We don't have to do that. But sometimes we feel like, I'm going to have to help God all I can. But and he's going to overrule that. This is a chapter of God overruling. He's going to overrule Isaac's mistakes. He's going to overrule their deception. He's going to do what he is going to do. But there will be fallout from that too. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice, and fetch me them. Which he does. Verse 16, and she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. He brings it to his father. Verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Very spiritual. You know the talk, but we don't know the walk, do we?
Amen.
And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he wasn't telling the truth at all. So, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And I think number one is a proud look, and the second one's a lying tongue. Jacob's lying here. Good evening. Blessing thee pronounced on his son. Starting in verse 28. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob had yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he had a mess of savory meat for his father. Verse 32, and Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. You see, the thing about, do you know what is the only thing that God commends Jacob for in the Hall of Fame? Hebrews 11. Does anybody know? By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. That's all. But when God stopped him in his tracks and he realized he was wrong, he went along with what God told him. Just like he went along with his dad when his dad put him on the altar. He yielded to the Lord. You know, when the Lord corrects you, you can either get your ears get red and you get angry and you can resist, or you can yield to God. And so Brother Franklin's favorite verse in Proverbs, I believe it's Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So Isaac wasn't like that. When God corrected him, he went along with it. And when he made a mistake and God overruled his mistake, he went along with it. And that's what he did here. And that was faith. Have you ever made a mistake and God rebuked you for it? And you say, well, Lord, I was wrong. And so it's hard to tell people that. It's hard to admit it sometimes, but we need to learn to do that. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. Verse 37, and Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. This is going to be interesting. Later on, you're going to listen to Jacob calling Esau Lord and calling him thy servant. And that wasn't faith either, you know. So, but you know, God's working on Jacob. He's working on us. He's one of us, hopefully, isn't he? You know, don't we read in Philippians 1:6, I believe, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the Lord was still working on those people. And so, and then again, he says, I believe in the second chapter, it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God's working in Jacob's life. He's working in Esau's life. He's making Jacob into a vessel of mercy, and he's making Esau into a vessel of wrath. Okay? Esau's end is scary. Esau's end is fearful. Esau's end probably has already been consummated. But we won't go to that right now. I mean his end as far as every mountain, anything here, as a nation or anything. And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, O my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. It shall come to pass that when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And he purposed, according to this verse, to kill his brother Jacob. Verse 43. Now therefore, my son, this is Rebecca talking to Jacob after she learns of Esau's plan to kill him. Obey my voice and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. And Rebecca said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? I know it must be. I've never been there because I don't have any children. But you know, you have spiritual children. And when parents have a child like Jacob who's yielding to God, that makes them happy. But when they have a child that's not yielding to God, it's a burden to them, and it causes a lot of grief. I know there's a brother once that told me, when I asked about his family, I didn't know he had but one son, and this man was a missionary. He said, all my family's saved. And he says, they're really doing good in the world. And then he just paused, and he cried, and he says, but they're not any of them really yielding to God. So that broke his heart, because his kids weren't, they were just thriving in the world, making money, had a good job. And so that was Rebecca and Isaac, and Esau was breaking their heart. Chapter 28. What does God do about his children when they don't yield to him? He grieves, doesn't he? Hebrews chapter 3. He was grieved 40 years with Israel. And then he got angry when they just kept on. And we read about his wrath. Chapter 28. God of Jacob's ladder. Probably a better word is stairway. Because you can't imagine a ladder going up with nothing to lean against. But I guess it could be that way. Verses 1 to 9. Isaac's instructions, 10 to 15, Jacob's dream, and 16 to 22, Jacob's vow. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, you know, Isaac didn't call him on the carpet and say, you deceived me, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself. People say he ought to be ashamed of himself. God never did say it, and Isaac didn't say it. No, they realized he was God's man. He charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a daughter of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. Just like Isaac did when they got Rebekah for him. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went. Verse 7, that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing the daughters of Canaan, pleased not Isaac his father. Then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister Bajoth, to be his wife. He didn't do any better going that way, did he? But see, he didn't have any spiritual gumption. He didn't know. This was just as bad as marrying Hittites, but he didn't have any understanding. You know, I had a man tell me once, he's a very intelligent man. He says, don't tell me whatever a person, whatever his faith is, or whatever religion is, if he gets on his knees and talks to God, God's going to hear that one person just as much as the other. Well, that's not right. David said one place, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. So if I'm determined to resist God and do my own thing and get on my knees and say, oh, God bless me, he's just going to say, you're not listening to men. You don't listen to me, and I've tried to talk to you 1,000 times, and I'm not going to listen to you until you start listening to me. Now, a lot of people don't go along with that, but I believe that from my heart. Jacob, verse 10, went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set, or my margin says a stairway, set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. This reminds us of a verse over in the first chapter of John where Jesus was talking to, was it Nathanael? And Nathanael, Jesus says, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there's no guile. And Nathanael says, well, whence knowest thou me? And he says, before whoever called him, I saw you under the fig tree. So Jesus knew what kind of a man he was. And he was not a hypocrite. He was a very sincere man. And Nathanael just marveled. And Jesus said, don't marvel at this. From henceforth, he said, you're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So Jesus is our ladder, our stairway to heaven. Isn't that great? You know, we're not isolated from heaven. There's a stairway to heaven. It's Jesus. And that's how we come unto God by him, don't we? He's able to save to the uttermost all that I can't quote that verse because he's our go-between. He's our stairway to heaven. And he dreamed, verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. This was Jacob, God's first communication with Jacob. And it seems to me to be encouraging. You know, Jacob's running away from his brother and he's going down to this strange land, and God gives him this dream and talks to him. Wonderful. God likes to encourage his people. And he's encouraging Jacob here. And behold, the Lord stood above it. I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. I read that verse. I'm reading it twice. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That must have been wonderful to hear those same words that God uttered to his grandfather years before. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Now that's a wonderful verse, isn't it? God's with us, and he wants to keep us in all places where we go. And will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done what I have spoken to thee of. No conditions. Don't you like that? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful. Praise God. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, which means house of God. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob, what does Luz mean? I don't know. I didn't look that. The Lord takes us from the nut tree to the house of God. Isn't that good? All right, verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow. This is interesting because Jacob's kind of halfway forgot what God said. Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me. What did he just get through saying? I am with you. Well, no, yes. If God will be with me and will keep me in this way, and that's what he said he would, then I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. He's just getting right down to the very basics. So that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So Jacob puts some conditions there and shows his faith isn't perfect yet. Chapter 29. God who looks on affliction. We're going to see the Lord doing that here. We borrowed that from one of Jacob's wives. Affliction means trouble. Rachel was beautiful, but he didn't get Rachel first, and so Leah was afflicted by not having good looks, and Jacob didn't love her that much, and Rachel was afflicted with barrenness. Verses 1 to 4, Jacob in Mesopotamia. That's the bright side of this chapter. 5 to 24, Jacob and Laban. That's the dark side of this chapter. Verses 26 to 35, Jacob's wives and sons, and we're going to see another side there. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. He seems to be led almost like Abraham's servant was led. Just the hand of God was just directing him. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. And Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said, of Haran are we. And he said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the sheep. So verse 9 says, while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Jacob is suddenly inspired, isn't he? He's seen Rachel. He'll do anything for Rachel. I think that's beautiful. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. It was love at first sight. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. Let's drop down to verse 15. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. I guess tender-eyed mean that she was not as beautiful, but obviously she wasn't from what it says. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man to abide with me. Now, Laban didn't say it's a deal. He just said that would be better than giving her to somebody else. So he was kind of, you know, he's kind of setting Jacob up to get deceived. Here's a real deceiver. But you see, whatever we sow, that we're going to reap, aren't we? And Jacob practiced deception, and it's going to be practiced on him. The chickens are going to come home to roost, as someone said. He served 7 years, and we get down to verse 26, and he's given, they have a big party. Leah's got a veil on, and he gives her to Jacob, and Jacob doesn't realize he's got the wrong girl until the next morning. And he's really upset. So in verse 25, he says to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherewith then hast thou beguiled me? What do you think of that? Brother Franklin told me about a man in Dallas who met a girl in Kansas City. And this man was a converted Jew, and he just fell in love with this girl first sight. So he started writing letters and sending them up to her, but he got her sister's name, and he was sending those letters to the wrong sister. He ended up marrying the right one. He sent the letters, first letters to the wrong one. Well, both of them got a pretty good husband. So anyhow, Laban goes on to say in verse 26, he justifies what he's done. And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. So he had to wait a week before he could get Rachel, but then he had to serve 7 more years to pay for her. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. Now, here's the Lord looking on. You know, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And so God sees everything. But he looks past the outside. We just see the outside. God looks at, he's searching our hearts tonight, isn't he? I wonder what he sees when he looks in my heart. Does he see a heart of unbelief? You know, First and Second Chronicles has got a lot to say about your heart, about preparing your heart. This man, he served the Lord, but not with a perfect heart, a king, you know. And so all the different kinds of hearts. The eyes of the Lord in every place. No, I'm not getting it right. To show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So God's just looking around for someone whose heart's perfect toward him. And he says, I'm just going to roll up my sleeve and just show you what I can do for you and in you and through you. That's what he wants to do. So now we get some of Jacob's sons. And he had 12 sons in all. But these sons that were born to Jacob represent some of the attributes or character of Christ that God wants to produce in our lives after we get saved. Some wonderful things that he does in each one of our lives. 12 is the number of the kingdom. So the Lord sees Leah's condition, and he grants her conception. And Leah conceived and bare a son and called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore, my husband will love me. So see a son, I suppose, in our life would be, you know at first that your sins are forgiven. But John 1:12 says, I believe it is, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Paul said to the Galatians, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So it's a wonderful day in our life, and we realize, praise God, I'm a son of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So that's the first son. Sister Bodie said years ago that she believes that Leah's children are the fruit of tribulation, and Rachel's children are the fruit of the Spirit. I believe that's right. I think, we have that in Romans 5, don't we, about tribulation. As soon as we get saved, if we really yield to God, there's going to be some tribulation in our life. And one man of God, I forgot who it was, said, God never uses anyone very much until he lets them suffer. So we have to suffer. That's just part of being God's, you know, working in our life to bring out, to reveal His Son in us. Verse 33, and she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, He hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon, hearing. Isn't it wonderful to find someone who hears the word of God, you know? Jeremiah said, oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. In Proverbs, there's a verse that says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord's made even both of them. So there's people that go to church and they don't hear a thing. The word of God goes forth and they don't hear a thing. So may the Lord give us a hearing ear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's another step of spiritual development. And she conceived again and bare a son. Verse 34. Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Levi means joined. Over in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. So it's kind of like that Romans 7, first part, that we should be married to another, even to him that's raised from the dead. So we're part of Jesus. You know, we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And that's wonderful when you see that. We're joined to the Lord. One of the Bryant girls invited a girl, a Catholic girl, to the tabernacle. And that girl went with her, and she wasn't saved, but she got saved. And when they sang a song that she heard the first night, made one with Christ. And so she goes home, and she's changed radically. And she wants to go back there. And her parents said, well, look, you're a good Catholic. What do you want to go over there for? She says, she gave him a wise answer. She says, well, do you want me to be a good Catholic or to be one with Christ? Wasn't that good? And they said, well, I guess it's all right to be one with Christ. So she saw something there and heard something that changed her life forever. One with Christ. We sing that sometimes. Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, Now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. That's a wonderful day in your life when you praise the Lord. Isn't that great?
Amen.
I didn't ever raise my hands, I don't think, until the night I got filled with the Spirit. That was they just go up automatically after you get filled with the Spirit. Maybe they ought to, at least, I think. No, I don't want to put a guilt trip on you, Frank. If you don't raise your hand, you don't have to. But it's wonderful. Get your antenna up, see? Chapter 30, God Who Hearkens. Verses 1 to 13, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. 14 to 21, Issachar, Zebulun, Dinah. That was all of Jacob's family, except Benjamin's going to be born later. And verses 22 to 43, Jacob and Laban match wits. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon thy knees, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went in unto her, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. And Dan means judge. Paul said that one place, he that judgeth me is the Lord. It's a wonderful day in your life when you realize you don't have to defend yourself. God's going to defend you. And until you get, you know, I don't want anyone talking about me. Well, you know, if God's going to take care of us, we don't have to worry about that. It's a wonderful relief to let God do the judging. That we're supposed to judge ourselves in respect, whatever God reveals to us, that means we're supposed to trust God to, our life to be in order. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. So that speaks of the wrestlings that we may have in our life. It sounds a little bit to me like Romans 5. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience hope. Hope makes not ashamed. So this means there's going to be more fruit in our life, but there's going to be some conflict. I think Paul wrote that, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob to wife. And then there's another son born. His name is Gad, which means a troop of blessing. Beside this, giving all diligence, add your faith, virtue, the virtue, knowledge, temperance, 2 Peter chapter 1. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name, Asher, which means happy. So that's another synonym for blessed. Think of the blesseds in Psalms. You know, happy, happy. We ought to be happy people, hadn't we? I was talking to a man today, and he's lost his wife, and he's been a very successful businessman. He said, he's getting really, he says, well, you know, you're the happiest person I've met all year. I says, well, you got the Lord. He's a Catholic. You got the Lord, you're going to be happy. You might be sorrowful, but always rejoicing, aren't you? Think what we got going for us. God, if God be for us, who can be against us? How can we help but be happy? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That makes you happy. And happy because your sins are forgiven. And happy for a thousand other reasons. And God hearkened. But you know, a lot of people just live under guilt all the time. Just failure conscious, guilt conscious, coming short conscious. I don't believe the Lord wants us to live there. Don't believe that. Verse 17, God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob a fifth son. This is not a handmaid's son, this is Leah's son. And she called his name Issachar, verse 18, which means hire or reward. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's a wonderful day when you realize that. Someone said, no one appreciates what I do. Well, the Lord appreciates what we do. Amen. And there's going to be a reward. And Leah conceived again, and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun, which means dwelling. I think that's kind of like what Jesus said in John 15, abide in me, and I in you. A.B. Simpson wrote a song, I learned the wondrous secret of abiding in the Lord. And so that was wonderful in his life when God brought him to that place. For my words I take his wisdom, for my works his spirit's power. That marvelous song just explains it so well. Afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. Don't have the meaning of her name. Someone got that? All right, judgment. So that would be a little bit like Dan, wouldn't it? And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, which means adding, and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. So that's part of our life too, is the Lord just keeps adding. I quoted a little bit from 2 Peter 1, but that's, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Isn't that a good testimony? I wonder if the people were. I believe that's true when we're yielding to the Lord, that they're going to be blessed for us being around, working for them or doing their work or as a neighbor or whatever it may be. Verse 35. There, Laban's makes a deal with Jacob about what his wages are going to be so he can outsmart him. But Jacob's going to out-Laban Laban. Jacob is smart too, and he's crafty. And so you can read about Jacob's genetic engineering here in this chapter. I don't know how he did it. Well, I know God did it, but he thought he was doing it. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-streaked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. So Jacob got all the culls, you might say, right? This is wonderful. Verse 41 says, it came to pass, whenever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the scutters, that they might conceive among the rods. This is his engineering. And verse 43 says, the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle, maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. So he's getting all the offspring. And so that brings us to chapter 33. 41. And old Laban, or 31. No, 30, yeah, 31. I'm sorry. All right. God of Bethel. The Lord's going to tell Jacob to go back to Bethel, the house of God. That's going to be the second communication to Jacob. 1 to 16, the secret departure. 17 to 43, the tense confrontation. 44 to 55, the peaceful parting. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's. And of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. So they're really hateful. And they're accusing Jacob. Jacob hasn't done that. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, now here's the Lord talking to him, return unto the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flocks, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And he, you know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. Isn't that great? Oh, Laban just can't get the best of Jacob, because he's got the blessing of the Lord. And now the Lord, he's going to repeat what the Lord said to him. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes, and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle, that ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. Jacob thought he was doing this, but God said, Jacob, I'm doing it for you. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Really, that's where the Lord is telling him that you go back to Bethel. We're going to find out Jacob did not obey the Lord entirely, and so there's going to be some repercussions later on. We don't get to that for a while. Verse 17, then Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods, which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. Verse 20, and Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose and passed over the river, and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him, and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in Mount Gilead. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night, and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. You just lay off of Jacob. You know, God's taking care of Jacob. Marvelous. So Laban catches up with him. Verse 26, and Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Well, they're Jacob's wives. He worked hard for those girls. Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp? Now, isn't that great? He wouldn't have done that. He's a real... Yeah, he is. But you know, Laban, we get a chance to see ourselves there too before we got saved. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's where we were once. Verse 29. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt, but the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? So his Laban's images are gone, his little gods, little household gods. And that shows that Jacob had some mischief in his household, see. And that was Rachel, really, had those little household gods. I was in a home once, and this woman was a preacher and a preacher's wife, and she had all these little old gods that they'd brought back from Africa. And I says, get rid of these things. She said, well, I just brought them back as relics. I says, get rid of them. I don't think she ever did. But, you know, I wouldn't want those things in the house, would you? I know that idols nothing in the world, but I wouldn't want them around. People, verse 34. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them, and Laban searched all the tent but found them not. Verse 35. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched, but found not the images. She's got them hid, and she's sitting on them, see. In essence, she said, I'm with child, and so I can't get up. I guess she was with child, with Benjamin, but she was deceiving her dad. And Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas when thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us. This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. And so he tells Laban how he has served him. Verse 41. Thus have I been 20 years in my house. I served thee 14 years for thy 2 daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. And Laban didn't deny it. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. God hath seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesternight. So Jacob realized God was looking on. Verse 44. Now therefore come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. This is Laban speaking now. And so they make a covenant, and Laban and Jacob make this promise to each other. It's really, and they set up this monument. You know, it's just a monument to distrust. Neither one of them trust each other. They can't trust each other. Isn't that awful? You make a covenant because you can't trust each other. Promises made to be broken. Verse 54. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. I don't blame Jacob. Now, don't get me wrong. I justify Jacob all the way through. I don't think he was at fault. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons, his daughters, and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned unto his place. So we're rid of Laban now. So all those places are interesting, aren't they, when you realize you have a map? Look at that. All right, chapter 32. God of grace. You find that word in verse 5 and verse 11. That's why I chose that title. 1 to 15, Jacob and Esau meet peacefully. 16 and 17, Jacob and Esau part in peace. And 18 to 20, Jacob to Succoth-ben-Shalem. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host," and he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And let's go down to verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee and 400 men with him." You know, my own opinion on this is, I believe Esau came, was going to come out and confront Jacob and do him in. But I can't prove this because it doesn't say that, but I believe God must have spoken to him like he did Laban. It says, "Don't you bother Jacob." Well, otherwise, what was he coming with all those men for? Jacob thought he was going to come after him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands. Now the Lord's told him he's going to bring him back. But Jacob says, "You know, I'm going to have to take care of myself or take care of these people. We probably won't make it." And said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company, which is left, shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least," he's really crying out to God, "least of thy mercies, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children." He was kind of like that man that had the demon-possessed son. The Lord says, if you can believe, all things are possible. Chapter 32, verse 11. But anyhow, the man said to Jesus, he says, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." I think that's what Jacob is saying there. "Lord, I believe you. I just want to trust you. I'm trying to trust you the best I can." You know, the devil would bother you. You know, if you don't have a little bit of money laid aside, you're going to die in the poorhouse. Well, are you going to die in the poorhouse? You don't have any money laid aside? David said, "I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." Well, then you don't believe in salt a little money away. My Aunt Louise used to say, if you lay it for the rainy day, more than likely the rainy day will come and you'll need it. So if you trust the Lord. But I know, the devil bothers me about that. You want to die in the poorhouse? Well, if you glorify God, that'd be a good place to die, wouldn't it? I'd rather die in the poorhouse in the center of God's will than to die in some mansion and be out of the will of God. But he talks to us about that. Well, let's go down to verse... I'm not going to read about all of Jacob's manipulations and his plans and his contingency. He's set up for anything. He's set up so he'll make it if he possibly can. And he gives instructions to his people that meet Esau. So let's go over to verse 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And now here's the fourth time the Lord's speaking to Jacob. And the Lord appears as a man here. Undoubtedly it was an angel that God was speaking to him. I believe it was. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Someone says, what's God doing here? Or what do you think he's doing here? Well, I don't know that I know for sure, but it seems to me that if you're self-sufficient like Jacob, you can't help it. So God has to help us come to the end of ourselves. Yeah, I believe he does. So we just come to the end of all of our natural resources, and we realize, I tell the Lord that, Lord, I'm shut up, shut down, shut in, and shut off. If you don't help me, I can't make it. And I mean that. I feel it as well as say it. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Oh, that's what he values, the blessing. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. What a wonderful word that is. Don't you want to prevail with God and men? Praise God. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. He wouldn't tell him his name. And we don't know. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So he passed over Peniel, and the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He limps the rest of his life. Chapter 33. Chapter 34, isn't it? Next. I gave you the wrong outline on 30. I should have called 32 God of Peniel. You got it on your paper there, so yeah. I just goofed on that. God of Grace, chapter 33. We're going to have that chapter. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men, and he divided the children unto Leah, unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. He's got them in companies, so maximum security. That's what he's thinking about. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him, and embraced him, and fell on his neck, and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes, and saw the women and the children, and said, who are these with thee? And he said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. He calls himself thy servant. Now that wasn't faith, if he remembered what his dad said to him when he blessed him. So verse 8, and he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And in verse 13, he calls him my Lord. In verse 14, he calls him my Lord. In verse 15, he calls him my Lord. Verse 16, so Esau returned that day on his way to Seir, and Jacob journeyed to Succoth, and built him an house, and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Shalem, the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. This seems to be an act of incomplete obedience. If the Lord said, you go back to Bethel, didn't he? He didn't do that. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And he erected there an altar and called it Elohi Israel. But God didn't bless him in that place. And that's what our next chapter is going to show. Chapter 34. God of the terrible swift sword. This is a sad detour, this chapter. Verses 1 to 5, dereliction. Verses 6 to 24, deception. Verse 25 to 31, destruction. So this is a chapter with some failure in it. But God's going to take care of Jacob. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. This is a very sad story. Jacob was, when we're not in the will of God, we set ourselves up for problems. And when we don't obey God, we set ourselves up for all kinds of. And Jacob is going to have, he and his family are going to have problems here. He wants to marry this girl, and Jacob tells his sons, and they are angry, especially Dinah's two brothers. And so they come up with a deceptive agreement, and they agree if all of these men will be circumcised, then they will intermarry and they'll live together. That'll be fine. They had no intentions of doing that. So in verse 25, it came to pass on the third day when they were sore that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, which were Dinah's brothers, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep, their oxen, their asses, that which was in the city, and that which was in the field, and all their wealth, and all their little ones, and their wives took they captive, and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me to make me stink unto the inhabitants of the land among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with an harlot? Jacob never forgot what they did. And in Genesis 49, when he's given the blessing, he mentions those two boys. And he says, in their habitations is cruelty. And he said, I want them scattered in Israel. I don't want them being together. Chapter 35, the only true God. 1 to 8 up to Bethel, 9 to 20 Bethel to Ephrath, 21 to 29 Edar to Mamre. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. This was the last time the Lord speaks to Jacob, I believe. And dwell there, and make thee an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, unto all that were with him. Now notice, they had some problems beneath the surface. The tip of the iceberg you see in the 34th chapter, but there was plenty wrong there. Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And I gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. Must have had something to do with that idolatry. And Jacob hid them under the oak that was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So once they're back in God's will, things are going to go better, aren't they? It's going to be well with them. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. He built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Here's an interesting verse. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it is called Elon Bekuth. Well, you know, it's probable that when she left, when Laban sent her back with Rachel, she might have been 50 years old. By this time, she's probably 150. Well, what's that 150-year-old nurse doing there? Well, it seems to me, probably, see, Jacob, with all the experience she had, she'd be very, what would I say, very profitable to his family, especially when his wife's going to have another child. And so she's had all this experience raising kids. And so, in fact, she's probably the one that raised him as a little kid, you know. And so she probably joins them when they come back into the land. That's my idea. But anyhow, she died at this time. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him, referring to what we just read. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply, nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham, Isaac, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he called talk with him, even a pillar of stone. He poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake unto him, Bethel. And then we read about Rachel's death in the latter part of the chapter. Verse 17, and it came to pass, I better go back to verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she was had hard labor. It came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have a son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. Ben-Oni means son of my sorrow, and Benjamin means son of my right hand. So that's two pictures of Christ when he came to the world to die on the cross, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and when he comes back to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Edar. And then we'll go down to verse 27. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father in Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 104 years. So Isaac has lived a long time, hasn't he, since he thought he was going to die. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. The next chapter is pretty much all about Esau, the last chapter on Esau. Chapter 36, the mighty God of Jacob. We're going to read about Esau's offspring. Well, verses 1 to 8, Esau is Edom, 9 to 19, Esau's sons, 20 to 43, Esau's extended family. There was someone that printed a paper years ago, and the humor section, the joke section, was Esau's sawdust. But that's about all he produced. Now, these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Esau took his wives of the daughter of Canaan, Ada, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anna, the daughter of Zibeon, the Hivite. And then we read about his offspring. So this chapter has got a lot of names, but I want you to think about Esau's legacy. Verse 8, thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And we go down to verse 12. I put a circle around this one. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. These were the sons of Ada, Esau's wife. Well, we go over to Exodus. Who was that attacked Israel first when they left Egypt? The Amalekites. Yeah. And who did God tell Saul to utterly destroy? And he did not do it. The Amalekites. And an Amalekite killed him, where the story goes. Took his crown and took his bracelet off his arm, and he lost his life. And then David went after the Amalekites, but he couldn't get them all. And 500 of them got away from him on camels. And the Amalekites represent the flesh. You know, if we don't judge the flesh in our life, the flesh will come back and be our ruin. It will. Now, believe it or not, I hate to even relate this, but I know a man that was mightily used of God, and he had one little problem. Seemed like maybe he had more than one, but he got to drinking, and he got to drinking, and it got the best of him. And I was with him the last night he lived, and we were rushing him to an alcoholic clinic, and we didn't make it in time. And a man was a preacher, but he let an appetite for alcohol ruin him. Amalek, you see. So that's all. That is all. And then who was old Haman, who was going to destroy all the Jews? He was a royal Agagite. He was an Amalekite. So there they are. See. And then I want to read just about Edom, just a little bit, if our time permits. Let's go to Obadiah, a little one chapter book, if you can find it back there. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. We're getting close. It's hard to find. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. Verse 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? So Esau must have been a proud man. Verse 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. How do you like that? That's what God said about Esau. And then he tells all the things he should not have done. And so, in verse 15, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, and thou, as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. And verse 19 says, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. And God drops that line right there. Yeah, there's a phone. All right, we're finished. We made it through the last chapter by kind of hurrying. So I trust that we've got some things here that were good.